I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Joe, what do you say? It's where'd the sun go? I don't know, but it's...
I just walked in.
Tuesday on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a good one out there. What do you think about this story of this guy who... I mean, you have what... starts off as like the worst thing ever, right? Which how many people are going through where you have a flight canceled, you have to make some sort of crazy modification to your travel plan. It's like the worst, right? And he has that happen. He ends up next to Sean McDermott at the airport, who's having the same thing happen to him trying to get back to Buffalo. So for those of you wondering, the head coach of the Bills doesn't have a private jet taking him everywhere.
Ah.
Because I honestly, like, some people might think that. Like, if you're Josh Allen, you're probably not on, like, the next Delta flight out of town.
You don't think so?
No.
I took a plane with Matt Leinart once.
Yeah, it's a little further down the depth chart.
It was after he got cut by the Bills.
Yeah. But if you're a certain level... you're not, you know, connecting in Chicago. But Sean McDermott, he was in the airport, right? So he goes and meets him. Hey, what's going on? They both have the same, basically, bad experience at the airport. They end up renting a car together, driving back to Buffalo, which is got to be one of the coolest things in the world.
It's got to be cool, but it also at first had to be a little awkward. Because I would struggle on what would I say to Sean McDermott. Like, I don't want to say the wrong thing, right? I don't want to say, question certain games last season. I think it'd be very awkward. And you'd also don't want to sit in a quiet car for 4 hours.
I mean, sure you do.
Really?
Why not?
Oh, I have to talk.
You do?
Yeah, I can't sit in a quiet car.
803-0930, a couple questions out there. So first off, if you're on a road trip, you're hanging out for a while. There's a long stretch. You don't need to talk the entire time. I hope you're not talking the entire time.
Not the entire 4 hours, but I mean, if you don't say anything, that's really awkward. Like, obviously, you might listen
sometimes.
Find something to listen to on the radio. Maybe you're listening to us. But, you know, you also want to have conversation mixed within that road trip.
Maybe a little bit. You don't necessarily have to. You could talk the entire time, maybe, or you could not talk at all. There's nothing wrong with not talking at all.
Oh, thanks for the car. I would be so uncomfortable.
Why? Oh, well, you can't stand silence, even in your own head.
Yeah.
You can't go through the grocery store without having someone talk
well.
In your ear.
Yeah.
You might want to try a little meditation every now and then.
I can't even go to bed when it's quiet.
Yeah, you've got like 15 gadgets lulling you to sleep every night.
But I just, you wouldn't be uncomfortable if not one conversation was had in a 4-hour road trip?
No. Huh.
I wish I had that.
Why would I be?
I mean, we're just sitting here, awkwardly silent.
Yeah, just hanging out, minding your own business, looking out the window. Nothing wrong with that.
I have to start a conversation even in the bathroom. Like, it's uncomfortable.
Really?
It's uncomfortable if someone I know, or, I mean, the bathroom's a bad example, because if Sean McDermott walked to the bathroom, I wouldn't start talking to him. But if I'm in a car with someone, I mean, for more than 30 minutes, unless I'm driving, like, I'm an Uber driver because I don't want to annoy the person, I have to say something. Something has to be said.
I mean, you don't have to ride the entire way in silence.
Yeah, no, that would be extremely uncomfortable.
But you don't have to have, like... a bunch of different conversations necessarily.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle. Like, I think a conversation. All I'm saying is I couldn't go 4 hours without, like, literally just saying thanks for the car and staring ahead is what I'm saying.
You should try, though.
Yeah, you trying to tell me something?
I'm just saying you should try.
All right.
It sounds like a really good challenge for you.
Oh, it's a challenge that I don't think I'll ever be able to.
Try it. You might like it. Like green eggs and ham.
Yeah, I don't like silence. I do know that.
Why not? What's wrong with the sound of silence?
If you see someone, all right, you're in a situation, and there's someone you know, Aren't you going to walk up and start talking to them?
Maybe. Huh. Not necessarily. Where am I?
Yeah, that's a bad example. I couldn't think of a place. Like, unless it's a movie theater, if I'm sitting next to somebody, I'm starting a conversation with them. I start conversations at sporting events with people I don't know.
If you're sitting in a movie theater, you would start
talking?
No,
I wouldn't. Oh. Unless it's a movie theater, I just can't imagine going over an hour without some kind of conversation.
I see my brother-in-law at the gym all the time. Sometimes we look right at each other. We don't even nod.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
Why? I mean, we're not. What do we need to have a conversation about? Just because we see each other?
In that situation, not a conversation, but at least acknowledge each other.
Something, a little head nod every once in a while, maybe. Or like, hey.
Yeah, that's. But yeah, if it's happening all the time, that's acceptable.
I need to be stopping and talking.
But you're not in a car together for 4 hours next to each other.
If we're in a car together for 4 hours, might talk a little bit, and then you know, if there's 3 hours of silence after that, so be it.
We've done 4 hour road trips. It's not been silence. I talk.
Well, yeah, I know. But I don't know. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm trying to think like the last road trip I took, probably to Cincinnati. I mean, there's probably like 4 hours of silence in there somewhere. Long trip in the car.
Yeah, maybe. Someone takes a nap.
There was that.
That
the
was
cue?
Me thinking.
It was the cue to start talking again for me. I need one of those in the car, apparently.
But speaking of road trips, Brian, this Bills fan got in a car with Sean McDermott. McDermott let him drive, and they got back to Buffalo a
little
late.
Is that what you want in your coach? I like that out of a coach.
Gets there no matter what?
No. I like he has no problem letting him drive. That, to me, that's the signal of a good coach. Dick Geron is taking the wheel himself, and he's not letting anybody drive. A good coach and a good manager of people is good at delegating responsibilities. He doesn't need to be up and driving. He doesn't need to take a four-hour drive. That'll take a lot out of you. He's got work to do, training camps coming up. You take the wheel.
Yeah.
Yes, you're a capable adult. Okay. You drive. If something needs to be said after an hour, I'll step in here, but go at it.
He pulls out the clipboard and starts working on training camp?
You just sit there and relax. You do nothing. Sit there in silence, maybe. Ugh. But I like that's the mark of a good coach to me. He lets the other person drive. Doesn't need to be hands-on all the time. Good at delegating responsibilities. I like that.
See, I see it as a risk taker. You don't know how good a driver this person is. You don't know this person's driving record. You don't even know if they have a license. You rented the car. you know what I mean? I
think you would assume they have a license.
I'm just saying that to me screams risk taker. Like I know this. I've known this guy for 30 seconds. I trust him. Let's go.
What? So every time you get in an Uber, you're a risk taker?
Well, no. If they have 5 stars, all right.
You've never met this person hopping in a car with them.
Yeah, but at least I have their information. I have the driver information in front of me.
You'd want to be the person driving in that scenario?
I always want to be the one driving. You know that about me. I like to be in control of the car on a road trip.
Oh, I'll let somebody else take it anytime they want to. The only good part about driving doesn't apply to this story here. The only good part about driving is having your own car and then having the freedom to do whatever you want after that. Like it's kind of you get to decide where to stop. And stuff like that. But that's really the only good part.
See, I think we've talked about this before. I know what I see on the road. I know that I'm looking. I know that I'm alert. I know that I will see a distraction. I will see something coming from the other side. If it's a deer, if it's something. So I like being in control because I know what I can see. And I know that I am in focus of this ride. And also having a conversation.
You can't be that focused. You're too busy trying to think up of different things to think. But you're in there with the Bills head coach. I mean, what are you talking? Are you tempted to talk about the team at all?
See, I think for me, I might ask a team question, but then I think this guy doesn't want to talk about football for 4 hours. So I try to bring up other things. Like, hey, what do you think about Buffalo? You know, you've been here for a while now. What are your thoughts on the city of Buffalo? Do you think you might retire?
So you want coach speak the entire time?
Well, no, I don't.
What do you think about the city of Buffalo? Oh, well, it's really nice. You know, great community. They've really embraced us here.
But would this be a place that you would, after your football career is over, that you would stay?
What are you saying? Hell no.
But those are the things I would try not to focus too much on football all the time because that's all this guy talks about.
Oh, I would ask all of the questions about the team, but nothing about the actual play on the field. I want to know, like, so how many free hoodies do you get? Like, what's the package like? Like, and how does that work? Do you go into your office at the beginning of the year and you just have the stuff? Do you ask on a, like, per-need basis? Like, oh, man, you know, I wore this same sweatshirt for the last game we lost. And I don't feel like wearing it again. Can I get a new one? And you get one. Do you buy it all from the team store? Like, that would be kind of my first thing. Like, where... All this gear, like how does that situation work? You go inside the office, like what do you have in your office? That would be so you have access, presumably, to unlimited amounts of Bills memorabilia and stuff from the past. Like what are you hanging on to? You have stuff from, you know, you're giving away the game ball in the locker room after the game all the time. What are the things that you hang on to that you like as like keepsakes? From different years and stuff like that.
Well, I'm sure he has the game, the first game ball that he was given.
I want to know when you, two or three, I think it was 3 years ago, as a motivational tool, put a cup of dirt in everyone's stall and saying, defend our dirt. You know, we have to be good at home field. Did you put a cup of dirt in everyone's stall like they said on TV? Or did you take up some of the rubber pellets? Because we don't actually play on dirt. From the field
right.
And put it in everybody's stall. Like, these are the things that I need to know that, you know, everyone's, I don't know, too scared to ask after the game. Where'd you get that sweatshirt? Can you imagine that after, you know, a 13-10 loss? It's a nice one.
I would, I mean, that's stuff I'd all be interested in, but I don't know if I would think of it like you did.
I wanted, like, life as an NFL coach. Like, let me in on this a little bit.
How much more can you actually make? That's what I would ask. After we looked up his salary yesterday. You know, next extension. How much are you looking to make?
I coach's salaries have gone up. And correct me if I'm wrong, Joe. I want to say, because, and the only reason I would ever know this is because the Sabres wanted him too. And he ended up going to Toronto. Mike Babcock, the hockey coach. And I want to say, when he left Detroit, went to Toronto, I think he was the first NHL head coach to break $1 million a year. Like, for some reason, that sounds right to me. I don't know if that's 100% true, but he was definitely reaching a new mark, a new benchmark in NHL coach salary, and it was not anywhere near, you know, what the players, even on the bottom end of the roster, were really making.
Yeah, you said that, and I think you're right. I mean, Babcock was the was the highest paid coach when he signed his contract with the Leafs, and he was making more than most players, according to this Bleacher Report article that I'm reading.
More than, I mean, that can mean a lot of things. So what was the league average? Maybe like $3 million. So yeah. He could have been making $2 million. Maybe it was two and not one that I was thinking of. But, you know, that's...
Was he worth it?
For the Leafs? How'd that turn out for him? So I would be interested in that kind of stuff. I think that would be kind of cool. Maybe talk a little bit about that and then just see, you know, ride in silence.
What do you want to listen to?
Yeah. Who gets to pick the tunes? The driver or the...
The guy who paid for the car.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
I think it's the driver no matter what.
Oh, well.
If you're the driver, you have to be in the right condition to drive that car.
I can drive with anything on the radio. I want to make sure my passengers are happy.
I want to be in the groove. I don't want to be annoyed by what's being played on the radio while I'm driving. That's a recipe for disaster.
Okay.
If you could pick, and this is what I really wanted to ask people. If you could pick one prominent Buffalo figure, you know, maybe it's a sports figure, maybe it's somebody else, a prominent Buffalo figure to be in a rental car with on that four-hour trip. You met him at an airport. Now you have to get back to Buffalo. You're stuck in a car together for 4 hours. Who would that person be? 803-0930. What do you think?
Oof. That's a tough one, Brian. You know, I'm trying to think of Buffalo celebrities, Buffalo heroes, and I can't even come up with a list. There's just too many. There's a lot of people in this area that I wish I could have 4 hours to pick their brain.
Really? Well, name a few.
I mean, the obvious ones, right? I'd like to talk with current Bills players, Josh Allen, Stefon Diggs. Hey, what's going on?
Put them both in the car, have a little therapy session?
I want them both in the car.
And so, nothing would get accomplished. You'd just be talking the whole time.
So for 2 hours, because, you know, you have to cut it in half. But that's one there. And then you go to some of the old players. I'd love to talk with Jim Kelly about the four Super Bowls and Bruce Smith because, gosh, well, I have talked to Bruce Smith. But 4 hours with Bruce Smith, talk about tech and the Bills, that would be awesome. Then, you know, you go Sabres. I'd like to talk to Ryan Miller. Like, what happened to your career after leaving Buffalo? Talk about that two-year run they had with right after the lockout. So, sports figures. I'd love to get in the car with Johnny Resnick. Talk about coming up from Buffalo. And now, you know, just being this superstar, having all these hit songs.
That would be an interesting one, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's not somebody who necessarily opens up a lot.
No. I took an elevator with him once. And no, I did not talk to him.
Like, I don't know. It's a hard question for me. It's why I wanted to hear from other people. You know, who are these people in Western New York who you would want to be stuck in a car with, so to speak, for a four-hour trip? It's tough for me to answer because this is not meant as a slight to anybody. Like, I'm just not interested, in the most part, in players on, you know, a team.
Right.
Like, I'm thinking realistically. When's the last time you've heard anything interesting from a player? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, when's the last time you heard, especially a current player? Like, nobody, you know, it's a canned answer every single time. There's nothing really interesting I'm going to get from that. I liked the idea of, I mean, Sean McDermott might be up there. I'd ask him all the questions that I was rifling off there. But just to kind of, like, that idea of being a manager of people, right? Like, how do you kind of go about doing that? What about Jeremy Jacobs? You know, if you're talking in the sports realm, there's only a few people who would really pique my interest. Jacobs would be one of them because he's got, you know, what's it like to own a team? What's it like to run this big business? And, you know, I'm sure there's some pearls of wisdom, right, that could be, like, found in there somewhere. Where that would be an interesting car ride, and you can learn a few things and also be interested in it at the same time. Like, he's got enough little stories to keep you interested. Oh, yeah. Kevin Adams, current sports figures, Kevin Adams, like the role of a general manager in hockey. Darcy would probably be more for me up my alley just because, like, he was the guy, you know, when I was.
Oh, yeah.
9 years old, 15 years old, watching the Sabres, like to hear some of these stories. But to hear what it's like behind the scenes, you know, if you were to get an unfiltered 4 hours in the car, that would be interesting to me. Like, the political world opens up personally. You know, anyone who we've had on this show, I've talked to a lot of politicians, Joe. I'm not interested in being in the car with one for 4 hours.
Exactly. I'll tell you one that really tops my list because it's someone I've tried to get on this show, I've tried to get on Hardline, is Doug Jamal. I mean, I think he's very interesting. His love for a city he's not from.
That's a great one.
He keeps buying these buildings. I would love to pick his brain for 4 hours.
That's a great one.
He would probably walk out of the car.
Well, I mean, you could say that about almost anybody.
That's true. That's true.
That's a great one. Like, that is one where I'm fascinated with people who accomplish a lot in areas that I know nothing about.
Yeah.
And if you have 4 hours of time to just be like, what do you do? You know, like, think about Doug Jamal in this instance. buys the Seneca Tower, which was almost completely vacant. You or me, Joe, like you put that, like, hey, would you want to buy the Seneca Tower? Like, what would you do to, you know, make it
put offices up in it?
Like, yeah, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where to begin. You know, what would I think of to do? Like, those things where you don't know where exactly you would even start. I'm not sure. That is the kind of person that I would want to be in a car with. Somebody who can talk your ear off about something you really don't know about, but you're interested in.
And it could just be the Pierce Arrow he has in that lobby bar that I still have to get to. I'll sit in there for 4 hours and talk with him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't even have to move.
No, just such an interesting guy, and I'd love to just... There's so much I'd love to ask him.
Something like that. What's Chris Sacca? Is that the guy who's on Shark Tank every now and then? Went to UB, you know, big entrepreneur, Uber investor, that kind of guy. That would be very interesting to me. Like, just tell me a little bit about all this stuff that I don't understand. What should I understand at the end of these 4 hours? Who is it for you? 803-0930. You can let us know, B-Maz and Beamer, on WBEN.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian, big news into the newsroom this hour. Buffalo, New York has ranked 22nd on the 2023 American Fitness Index, which a good number, but it's down one from last year when they placed 21st.
Yeah. Still too high. These people need to spend a little bit of time here, I think.
Jeez.
We're talking about who would you want to be in a car with for 4 hours from Western New York, or if you're on a plane or something like that. What would that look like to you? Dottie in Orchard Park, you're on WBEN. How's it going this morning?
Very, very good. I just heard your story, and I have one that I think is very interesting. I tend to be like Joe, that I talk to people, and I used to work part-time at Northwestern University in Chicago, and I was flying first class back to Buffalo, and sitting next to me were these two guys that everybody wanted to get their autograph. So when we finally were leaving, I turned to them and said, "Why did people want your autograph?" And they said, "Well, because we're Steve Young and Jerry Rice." And I said, "And who are Steve Young and Jerry Rice?" And they said, "These are our Super Bowl rings." And I said, "Is that something Buffalo maybe wanted to have for some reason once?" And they said, "You know nothing about football." I said, "I know. I've never seen a game." "You have what?" I said, "I've never seen a game. I've never met anybody who's never seen a game. What kind of school did you go to?" I said, "Well, to rural schools with, you know, less than 100 kids in the high school, not big football teams. College didn't have football, so I never have." And he said, "Oh, my gosh." I said, "Well, where'd you go to school?" And Steve Young said, "To Brigham Young." I said, "Oh, well, my husband was from Palmyra, New York, where the Angel Moroni found the plates on the Hill Cumorah. And so then you are Mormon." And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Oh, my gosh, well, I know a lot about Mormonism, even though I'm not one, because I've read about it because of my husband's background and everything." So we talked religion for a while and everything. And, you know, we had a couple wines and everything and just enjoyed our talk. And they just couldn't believe anybody like me, because they'd never, ever in their life met a person. And I said, "No, there's lots of me's out there, you know, in the rural areas and stuff. They don't have the money to go, and they, you know, don't have the interest."
It's probably refreshing for them, right, to meet somebody who's not hounding them for an autograph. I got to ask you, though, Dottie, after this, did you become a fan?
Nope. Never. Still never. And I'll let you laugh. My husband was in the back of the plane, and he said, because we didn't pay, he didn't get free first class from Northwestern. And he said to me, do you know who you were talking to? I said, yes, these two famous football players. He says, well, you got your autographs. I said, why would I ask for their autographs when I don't know who they are? But I have to end this story with this cute part. Steve Young, or Jerry Rice, wait, said to me when they were leaving and we were getting off, he said, you know, Dottie, we had a wonderful conversation. I would love you to come next door because we're right across the street at that hotel, and I would buy you a drink. I noticed you weren't Mormon the way you were drinking.
Dottie, thank you for the call. I mean, that's a good one. I wonder, you know, so Dottie's story happens on a plane. There's a difference between a car and a plane, right? Like, there's a reason why in this hypothetical situation, we're talking about a four-hour car ride and not a plane trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Do you talk to people on planes?
So I'm very different on an airplane. If it's someone I don't know, Brian, I try to, for the most part, keep my mouth shut. And this is the reason why. You know, if it's someone that doesn't want to talk to you, and then you've said something and they kind of just give you a look, now it's going to be uncomfortable for the entire flight. At least in a car, you can maybe talk your way out of awkwardness. You know, I do that in life sometimes. You talk yourself out of an awkward situation. If you just get the wrong person next to you on a plane and you say something, and either you were trying to be funny, they didn't find it funny, or you're trying to start a conversation and they just looked at you. But now it's, you know, a five-hour flight and it's uncomfortable, and you might have to ask that person to move to use the bathroom. So I'm very different on a plane. I do a lot of downloading of shows, and I just put my headphones in, kind of like at the grocery store. I put my headphones in and just try to sleep.
I don't really talk to anyone on the plane. That's why, like, even if you're sitting next to somebody famous or who you know, it wouldn't really think to me to bring up anything.
A plane is so much different for me than a car. But if someone turned to me and started talking, I'll have a conversation. Some random person says, hey, we're on this flight for 5 hours. Yeah, all right, let's talk.
Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, that's right.
I mean, we can start playing tic-tac-toe, whatever you want to do. I am open to conversation on the airplane, but usually there's a reason I get the window seat, Brian, and that's to sleep.
Yeah, I want to try to sleep. And if you're, you know, trying to stop me from sleeping, that might be a little bit of an issue.
But you know what, Brian? If it helps them pass the time, I'm all ears. I'll sleep another time.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason. There's a whole, like, stand right by the gate with crossword puzzles and all that kind of stuff. Like magazines. Sky Mall. Order some stuff. Get a gargoyle for your front yard.
Sky Mall's out of business.
Oh, well, you know.
No, I'm sorry.
Too bad. Read the drink menu one more time. You know, when they come by with the cart, and, you know, if you're sleeping and somebody's like, oh, you know, nudges you.
Ooh.
Like, come on.
Now, that's when you will upset me. Like, if I am sleeping, you don't know me, and you tap me on the shoulder, hey, did you want something?
Did you know?
Did you think I wanted something?
They got Sprite here.
Like, I didn't fall asleep not knowing the cart's coming around. It's not my first time on an airplane.
They got pretzel, rolled gold. I don't, those worth waking you up for. And planners. Oh my goodness. But that's why, like, in a car is a little bit different. Car is, you know, it's kind of like feel free to say whatever you want throughout the car trip.
You don't want it to be awkward. Again, different people think different things are awkward.
On the text board, you know, we were asking you, who in Western New York would you want to be in that trip with? If you've read the story, a guy, Bills fan, found himself, with canceled flights, messed up travel plans, rented a car to get from Pittsburgh to Buffalo with Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach. Kind of a cool story for any Bills fan. Who is the Buffalo person you'd want to be in a five-hour car ride with? A lot of people chiming in. We got a couple of people saying David Bellavia. And I want to say to those people, good news. David Bellavia is in the car with you coming up at 10 o'clock for 4 hours right there.
Yeah.
So your ability to listen to David and even talk with him if you want at 803-0930 5 days a week.
I've been in the car with David for 90 minutes. And let me tell you, we talked the entire time. He is a great person to have a conversation with. So is Brian. He says a lot of stuff about not wanting to talk. Brian's a great person to have a conversation with.
It's not that I never want to talk. It's just I'm totally fine not talking.
Yeah. But you're friends with me, so.
Yeah. But there's, it's not that I don't, I go in saying like, all right, everyone shut up.
Right.
But I, if no, you know, I have no problem being in silence at any time.
I get that. You ever get that, you know, when you're uncomfortable and you can feel it in your stomach, you can feel it in your body. If it's quiet for too long, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, you need to embrace that. Like, that's a...
I've gotten this far.
I don't know. You need to dive into that a little bit more.
I just think it's...
We'll get Dr. Cummings back in here.
I would love to have that conversation.
I would love to... You know what I would love to do? We're not allowed to do this. I would love to do a show that's just silence.
No.
You and me, chicken, who talks first?
The
music bump goes, it fades out, and it just crickets.
It would be me. Like, that's a bet I could not win.
I would just, let's just be present with ourselves for a little bit. The thing would hit, you'd hear a little doo-doo-doo, and then, you know, Lucas would come on with the news.
Isn't playing either?
No, he would do the news, and you'd run a couple of commercials, and we'd come back, and just nothing.
When I was a kid, our neighbor could not listen to the radio when driving. And I've thought about that every day of my life.
Oh, like it just distracted him?
Yeah. She drove with no radio. And I've tried that for maybe 30 seconds. And I lose my mind. Like, I have to have something talking to me. I have to have some music. I have to have something to go along with when I'm in the car.
Oh, I like it. Drive by yourself for a little bit? No radio, no anything?
I'm more distracted in silence driving than with something on.
Go for a nice run, which I think I'll do when I leave here. Just be by yourself. Nothing pumping into the ears.
So when I was running regularly and I was doing 5Ks every weekend, I did that to see, like, how does the music affect me? And my mile was almost a minute slower. I mean, I have to have something in my ear.
No, you don't. You just think you do. You want music and you have play it in your head.
No. Statistics show, 2018.
I did it once.
Yeah, that's all the proof I need. Literally, 6 days apart, I ran once, almost a minute slower a mile than when I had music on in my ears.
Yeah, one time doesn't prove anything though.
Well, I'm not in that shape yet. If I get back to that shape, Brian, we'll try it again.
There's nothing wrong with a nice little bit of sign. Last night put the kids to bed. Oh, nice. Picked up a book, just read, nice, quiet.
But you're reading.
Yeah.
The words are in your head.
But, you know, we're not turning on a bunch of stuff and, excuse me, doing all that. Anyway, so the people that everyone was mentioning from the past, Irv, Rick James, a lot of people from the past.
Would agree with both. Rick James, I think, would be a great four-hour car ride. Irv would be so interesting to talk with. And, you know, how many times do you put on the radio, da 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 da, da Irv, as you're driving with him?
Does Teddy Roosevelt count? He's not from here. He was inaugurated here.
The only president inaugurated in Buffalo.
I mean, if we're going in the past, I think, like, that's the person. I would need, like, the Denali or something, you know, the Yukon XL. With him in the passenger seat. But aside from that, someone said Chris Sacca from Lockport. I knew he went to UB. I didn't know he was from Lockport. But then the other person I keep forgetting about, I forget about him as a Western New Yorker. You know, if you're going sports, Roger Goodell.
That's right.
How could it not be him? Like, wouldn't that be the person? Just 4 hours with him? Like, so what's the plan here? You know, like, what's going on with everything? Can we get rid of some of these replay reviews? That would be my one suggestion. And then just pick his brain about, you've taken this game. I mean, it was big when you took over. Now you're playing in Germany. You got all this stuff going on. Like, this has got to be crazy. You know, tell me a little bit about it.
What's
I'd love
next?
To hear that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And I forget about him as a Western New Yorker. Right? Like,
Jamestown, yeah.
It doesn't really compute all the way. And then someone else said, when I was 14, sat next to a popular wrestler on the airplane, had no idea who he was until the flight was over. I wonder, like, part of that is, what goes into breaking the ice if you see somebody out in public? Like, it takes a certain amount of, like, guts to go up to somebody and say something, you know, certainly when you're a little kid. I remember being intimidated when I was 7 and I saw Dominic Hasek, wanted to ask for his autograph, and luckily he was a pro and used to that kind of stuff. So, like, you know, he kind of took it from there and signed, you know, his autograph for me right away. But I was so nervous. I had no idea what to say when I was a little kid. I don't think I'd be nervous right now, but I...
Would you still approach him?
I think I would generally have the thought of, I don't really want to bother this person. Like, that is kind of how I would go into it. I don't know if necessarily... But you're stuck together on a plane seat. Would you talk to him? Would you do something like that? I mean, talk about an interesting person to talk to. A wrestler who's been, you know, traveling the world and doing all these big shows. That would be one. Yep. On my flight back from WrestleMania, I was on a plane full of wrestlers. The only problem is they were in first class. I was in the back.
But we did see some walk by.
We were there, you know, that would have been a pretty cool flight to be on with somebody and been like, that's got to be crazy.
Do you get like starstruck like you would as a kid?
I definitely think there's people I would be starstruck for.
Like when I see people that I see like on TV, the WrestleMania thing's a great example. A few walked by that I had recognized from either the night before or seen on TV, kind of freeze up.
I don't get starstruck like that.
Okay.
Because like my main thinking is, you know, like, look at you. Here you are the other day in front of 80,000 people, and now we're just sitting on the same tin box. Like, yeah. You know.
Or the same delayed flight.
We're just hanging out here. Like, I would get starstruck. There's few people I would get, like, starstruck by. Mario Lemieux, starstruck.
Oh, yeah.
Lemieux and Jagr, for me, they're like the two people I think I would be starstruck by.
We've got to go run that race he does every year. He's there.
I know. I think about that all the time. Yeah. I would see him and freeze up, like, at the finish line.
Yeah.
Giving him a high five.
Might be able to pass you.
But, like, that is one of the people, when you say starstruck, I immediately think, like, if Mario Lemieux was hanging out, you know, was walking around the building, he'd be one person who I'd be like, I don't know if I want to go up and talk to that person.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's not too many people like that.
I freeze up a little too easily.
I'm trying to think, like, who else would...
Like, we were at that bar, names escaped my mind, and Josh Allen walked by, and I froze up. And that's just... I freeze up very easily.
I remember. We were watching the World Cup, and some of the Bills came in, and if I were in your shoes, you would have tried to blend in with the crowd and walk in with them so you wouldn't have had to wait out the door.
Well,
you don't even have to talk to them. Just like kind of move in.
Hindsight's always 20/20 because we later found out the guy at the door, actually a fan of the station, I could have gotten in.
Yeah.
But
what
are you going to say?
Like starstruck, like I always used to think of, you know, who are these people? Like the Pope, right? Like the Pope, you know, it's a renowned, revoured. What's the word I'm looking for here?
I think renowned.
But, you know, he's a essential figure in Catholicism, which, you know, I grew up Catholic. But I don't think I'd ever be, you know, starstruck by the Pope because I wouldn't be able to understand him. Right, like we literally do not speak the same language.
You would need the interpreter.
Like that barrier there kind of puts a little bit in, like, what am I nervous about? I'm not understanding him. He's not understanding me. Maybe. I don't even know, like, what to say here or what to go on. Like, so that it kind of takes that a little bit out of it. Like, starstruck people. I love this idea. Like, who would you be starstruck by? I think there's a lot of musicians that I would kind of be starstruck by. Like, that's probably the one category of people. There's a lot of musicians out there that I would just be in that, like, you know, what do I do?
If my wife didn't have to inform me after the elevator ride that was Johnny Resnick, I would have been starstruck. But during the ride, I didn't know it was him. She's the one who got the better look and told me after, that was Johnny Resnick.
I'm trying to think if that's somebody who I would instantly recognize. Because I feel like there's not a lot of people who look like him.
Well, I also didn't get a good look. I saw from the side, he had a hat on backwards. Mm. I just didn't get the best look.
You wouldn't think backwards hat
Exactly. It's probably why he does it.
Yeah, Hollywood celebrity.
Yeah. Backwoods hat, Vans. I didn't recognize him.
Yeah. I think, like, in the music world, I think that's where I would get started. I think probably because that's where I've had the least amount of personal experience. You know, we talk to a lot of people coming through here. Not a lot of musicians.
Yeah, very few musicians. We do have
some
musicians.
We got to get on that. Yeah. We give away so many tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, Donny Osmond going to come on the show?
You would think Donny Osmond. I think he'd be a cool. You talk,
can we get him?
I know he's not from Buffalo. That's someone I think I could have a fun four-hour conversation with.
What would you talk about?
Well, I mean, his career starts with, you know, a musical group with his brothers, right? Then he has a solo career. Then he's on TV, game show host, Donnie and Marie. He does a Vegas residency. Now he's on tour by himself. There's a lot to get in.
Yeah, hear me out. What if I don't care about any of that?
But you might not care about it, but you can admit that's interesting. A 50-year career. I mean, if you've had a 50-year career and don't have something interesting to say, that might say a lot about you.
Yeah. I think there's probably a lot of people like that, though. Don't you?
Probably. But I'd like to experience it.
I think there's a lot of people in the... Because he's more Hollywood than he is, you know... You think of him as a musician, right?
Well, she's a little bit country. He's a little bit rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I don't know.
But there's a lot, I feel like there's a lot of people like in the Hollywood realm who, you know, aren't necessarily interesting.
No. They have no personality once the camera's off.
Yeah.
That would be really disappointing. Like, if I got in a car with list favorite actor or actress and they had no personality, that would be really disappointing. It'd probably change the way I watch them on TV.
And you don't want that.
Right.
You don't want that at all.
There are people. That should be a list we make. There are people I don't want to meet because I don't want to know if they're just awful people.
Oh, maybe that's tomorrow. All right. Who do you not want to be?
I know we're going over the clock here, Tanner, and I'm sorry, but I have to mention this. So 1 o'clock NFL Network plays old NFL replays. And you talked about Roger Goodell with the instant, you know, can we have less instant replays? And they're playing these older games from like the late 2000s, early 2010s. Do you remember when they would go to replay and certain camera angles wouldn't be in HD? And we just accepted that as normal. And now everything's in HD. Like, it's just funny watching these from 13 years ago. And we just accepted, oh, the goal line cam's not in high definition. Now, that's all people would be talking about on Twitter.
Well, yeah, it was 13 years ago.
It's just amazing how, well, this is great. But we still had different cameras around the stadium that weren't HD.
When you get a first HD channel or TV, there was only like six channels you could watch.
Yeah, everything had those sidebars.
I watched baseball because it was in HD. Like, someone came in the room. What? You sitting here watching baseball? I'm like, yeah, it's the only thing in HD. I got an HD TV. What do you want me to do?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I just thought that was something. I go to the gym around 1 o'clock now, and I've been glued to these old 2009, 2010 games. And I just like, it's so funny how we accepted that. And, you know, less than 15 years later, if that happened now, oh my gosh, what am I paying for this TV? Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. B-Maz and Beamer. David Bellavia is up next, followed by Tom Bowerly and Tom Puckett here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.